Hi, this is Abby Collins, and you're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
Hey, that was fun!
Welcome to The Pull Bag. Join us as we dig out our latest comics and discuss them with a rotating panel of the GCRN crew. So sit back and enjoy this week's Pull Bag.
Hello and welcome to episode 149 here inside the Pull Bag. Welcome back to the Otto Buttley August coverage of IDW Publishing's Transformers comics, which will also be featured on All Things Transformers. I am one of your hosts, TFG and Mike. Joining me for the next three episodes of the show are going to be Ryan and Flo Merkley. Hello, sir.
Send all complaints to Mike.
Yeah. Mike Dodd, that is.
Better, he won't sit, pay for a better co-host. Don't look at me. You get what you pay for in terms of quality. Hey. You know I can just leave anytime.
Well, I was going to say, this is bad comedy.
Speaking of bad, we're reviewing Autocracy. No,
oh, come on. It's not we'll get into it, but yeah. So we are here continuing on with Otto Buttley August, as I said, we had the Titans Return, which capped off the two main ongoings for IDW. So we're going back 5 years in time to Transformers Autocracy, which is written by Chris Metzen and Flint Dilley, along with Livio Remondelli on art for the entire run. I had no preconceived notions of this. I knew of this. I knew, like, once I heard Primacy, or not Primacy, that's the third arc. Once I heard Monstrosity was coming out, I'm like, ooh, I'll look into this. And because I never actually looked into Autocracy at first. I'm like, ooh, I'll keep up with that and whatever. And I never did. And here we are, you know, 4 or 5 years later, getting to it in this episode. So Autocracy,
this was released as a web series for free, by the way, and eventually sort of collected and sold.
Yep.
So it's very short individual chapters, if you were to break it up that way.
Yeah.
So, I mean, ideally, you want it in trade.
Yeah, and that's... okay, so 4 months ago, when we did Otto Buttley April and did all the main IDW stuff with Not Rid and More Than Meets the Eye, I was thinking of doing another Transformers month at some point, and we're going to probably do Star Wars stuff in December, so Decepticon December wasn't going to happen. So I'm like, oh, I can do another Otto Buttley month, and I looked at various things of what I already had of Transformers stuff in my Comixology library, so stuff I didn't have to buy additionally, and I could not believe I had already had the Autocracy and Monstrosity trade. The only thing I think I ponied up dough for was Primacy, which I have that in trade as well. So yeah, I was surprised that I had almost all three of them. Yeah, this series is 5 years old, and for someone who didn't read it back then and 5 years later, I kind of enjoyed it. I mean, I'm used to digital type issues, the shorter chapter type stuff, because I used to read the Batman Beyond DC stuff, the Batman Beyond Universe and Unlimited and all that stuff when it was digital chapters. I forgot how fast the digital chapters actually read.
So this is a pre-war Cybertron. The yes. Decepticons at this point are a terror cell. And originally, well, I mean, the Autobots don't exist. I mean, not in the later form.
They're yeah.
called Autobots. Zeta Prime is the leader, but he's kind of a douchebag, as we see. And so just to get straight to it, originally this was not in continuity.
Mm-hmm.
And as I go through, I'm going to point out some of the major problems with the fact that it's now in continuity. I'm not even going to bother pointing out all the times characters meet that they shouldn't have,
mm-hmm.
Because that's kind of pointless and very minor. But I mean,
so when you say that this is in continuity now, you mean all three chapters, all three series Autocracy, Monstrosity, and Primacy.
At the very least, Autocracy is now in continuity.
Okay.
I mean, there's references to Monstrosity in some of the later books, but it's not complete, so you could almost kind of pick and choose.
Okay, so it's just the Autocracy series that's in full continuity.
I mean, realistically, it's probably all of them. It's just I'm choosing to pick out the stuff I can.
Right.
Because there's just too many issues. So we open with Orion
Pax
being rebuilt.
Yep.
And getting used to his new body, and he and his Autobots, Ironhide, Bumblebee, and Hound. And, oh yeah,
Prowl.
Who, holy shit, is Prowl not in character in any of this?
Yeah.
I mean, he's very much G1 Prowl, which is possibly because Flint Dilly wrote this.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's not IDW Prowl at all, and that's just one of the characterization issues.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, they bust up a group... led by Swindle, of course, who is selling weapons, and they're looking for info on Megatron and the Decepticons, who have sort of gone underground at this point and causing the Autobots trouble.
Mm-hmm.
They rough Swindle up a little too much, as they being Orion.
Yeah, Orion goes a little too far, and in my notes, when I took notes for this, I'm like, wow. In this first chapter... I know Bumblebee has always been a scout. I know he's always been kind of the spy bot type of character. But Bumblebee the sniper, I was not expecting that at all. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, I mean, that's a little out of character from what we know later on as well.
Yeah.
But that one's not so bad. So anyway, Laserbeak recorded the whole thing. So good job on the Autobots to notice the flying transformer.
I love Swindle's alt mode.
So that's the end of chapter one. Again, these are super short because of that.
Yeah.
Hell with it, I don't even bother with the chapter breaks at this point.
That's fine.
So anyway, we jump to Zeta Prime describing his new weapon, which is a vampiric lance. And as we see, he tests it out on. Yeah, he tests it out on Swindle.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, Swindle's alive, so what the hell? This is another continuity problem.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, in between that, we saw Prime and Magnus sparring and. Prime is still Orion Pax. Damn it.
Okay. I'll say this right now, folks. We're gonna confuse Prime Pax throughout this whole episode, and probably throughout this whole episode of the podcast, because we're so used to Optimus Prime. We're used to either, oh my God, it's a war, or hey, it's after the war. We're not used to pre-war crap. So. I mean,
it's easier in More Than Meets the Eye because he doesn't look like Optimus Prime.
Yeah.
Whereas in this, he already looks like Prime.
Yeah. I think the only difference, and we'll get to this later, I really think the only difference between Pax and Prime in body is, I think his middle chest piece is slightly smaller when he becomes Optimus.
Yeah, it's a little more open and different anyway.
Yeah.
Zeta tests out his lance on Swindle, who apparently is the only person it doesn't kill. I don't know. It siphons off energy from Transformers and then can fire it off in an exceptionally large lance. But it does so by draining their life. Again, apparently it doesn't work on Swindle. Oh, screw it. I'm going to stop whining about that. Anywho, so, you know, it drains... power from the people to empower Zeta. So for some reason, this doesn't go over well with some of the senators. And obviously, the Decepticons are not real cool with this.
Obviously not. I would think not.
It turns out Soundwave was watching the entire thing.
I love Soundwave.
He gets away just as Orion comes in. So Orion and his force are immediately tasked with bringing in Soundwave.
And we have a Soundwave chase.
Yeah, the third chapter is literally called The Hunt for Soundwave. This is one of the better chapters just because there's not... I mean, there's no mischaracterization here.
Yeah.
It's mostly just Soundwave trying to get out.
And really, I'm going to say this now, and we'll probably have to argue about this later. I didn't know this was retcon to be in continuity, but I read this assuming that this entire book, plus the other two that we'll talk about in the next couple of weeks, were their own thing outside of the IDW. Just that IDW has...
It's recent, and you're not caught up. But I have been, and yeah, recently it's been placed into it, which again, I think is just a mistake. I mean, they've chosen to largely ignore an awful lot of Costa's run and some of the not-so-good Transformers stuff. So I don't understand why they suddenly want to jam this in. It doesn't make a lot of sense. It doesn't gel with Chaos Theory or any of the other sort of early stuff from More Than Meets the Eye or really any of this series. So why put it in now? It doesn't add anything. It doesn't... Whatever. Anyway. So, yeah, it's just a chase scene. The only thing I didn't really like here is Soundwave seems a little callous in terms of just, like, throwing out his tapes and leaving them. But I don't know. I guess he's got a...
I think the issue here is that Chris and Flint wanted to show all the tapes in action.
Or Slugfest and Overkill.
Okay, all right, but...
Actually, no, sorry, I shouldn't say that, because Overkill... Actually, no, both of them are in More Than Meets the Eye, surprisingly.
Anyway. Yeah. So, okay, but seriously, any I don't want to say diehard, but any major G1 fan that wants to read this, that does not... That only knows, let's say, the original cartoon series, Slugfest and Overkill, to my recollection, were not in that.
Yeah, they never appeared.
Yeah, so... Having,
I know I'm just joking. Jesus.
I know you are, but I'm just. I think the reason why he
Works as a prequel to the G1 cartoon series in a lot of ways.
Yep.
But yeah, it just doesn't work as a prequel to IDW stuff. So, yeah. Optimus is able to subdue Soundwave, but they are too close to Megatron's headquarters. And gets jumped by the Decepticons. There's no fighting, though, because they tell Pax that Megatron wants to talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
And they meet again. There's no reference to the fact that... There's a reference to Prime quoting Megatron's manifesto, which is in continuity.
Right.
But not much about the fact they've met a few times before. It's like they picked and chose. I don't know. Anyway, so they have a conversation. They show Orion the crap that Zeta Prime is pulling, which is draining the people, literally, just to power himself.
Yep.
And Prime, damn it, Pax, doesn't trust Megatron.
Nope.
Pax is really angry in this series for whatever reason, and anyway, he immediately attacks Megatron, and his troops come in to save him, but in the end, Megatron kind of lets him leave, figuring that he'll do more damage to Zeta than anything the Decepticons can do.
My favorite part about this confrontation between the two of them is close to the end when Megatron's like, "Well played, Orion. I underestimated you. You usually do." I love that, the juxtaposition of their faces with the art. I think that's great.
So they leave. Pax immediately confronts Zeta. Zeta sends him on a mission about an an insurgent slash bomber who named Hot Rod. So Prime and his team, damn it, Pax and his team go out to find this Hot Rod. And we all know who Hot Rod is at this point.
Obviously. So
he kind of leads them on a chase. And is not the sort of insurgent bad guy they thought he was. And they end up sort of chatting with him, and he shows them the people in the neighborhood that are miserable, don't have any energy on, et cetera, et cetera. Then basically, like, the Cybertron's poor.
Yeah.
And amongst all this, Zeta unleashes the...
Vampiric cannon thing and the energy sucker.
Well, first he sends out the Omega Sentinels.
Yeah, there's that.
Which are essentially Omega Supremes. Zeta, you know, is instituting the crackdown under the guise of crushing the insurgent Decepticons, et cetera, et cetera. Orion hauls out his troops out, leaving Hot Rod there. Hot Rod knows they can't evacuate, so in the end, he decides to blow everybody up in a little bit. Which, not real in character. Hot Rod's really off in this.
He's not
a callous... You know, he has the better they die than, you know, be... Gets the speech at him of better to die than be part of Zeta's war machine, and pushes the button and, you know, kills all of his people.
I'm trying to think.
Even Rodimus is less callous, and that's kind of a problem. No, it's true. I mean, let's be honest. Rodimus is an enabler who doesn't really care about others a lot of the time when it serves his purposes. He didn't care about Chrome Dome, Rewind, etc., etc.
I mean, again, because even though I know this is tied to the continuity, when I read this, I looked at it as...
I'll get to the positives and stuff at the end. It's just while I'm going, I want to point some okay. of this stuff out, because I'm not going to remember if I wait.
Okay.
So, you know, whatever, that all happens, and Pax and Co. confront Zeta at this point, or vice versa, actually. Zeta more comes across them, and Zeta beats the crap out of Pax and his crew, and are saved by the Decepticons, led by Megatron, unsurprisingly. And he fights Zeta one-on-one. Until Zeta retreats, which is usually a Decepticon thing, but hey. At that point, go ahead.
I don't know. I'm sure Megatron is worse than Zeta, but from what I read out of this and what I got out of his character is he's like teetering on the edge of becoming a Decepticon. I mean, he's pretty much the Autobot version of Evil Incarnate.
They mention it in Titan's Return that Zeta is considered by some to be the first Decepticon.
Yeah.
In terms of being evil, I mean, this is before Megatron went too far. Megatron was in the right through the Senate and a lot of what happened. The issue was he didn't stop.
Yeah.
And Zeta probably wouldn't have stopped either. But Megatron and his crew repair the Autobots. Well, sorry, Pax and his group of Autobots. And Zeta, other evil Prime. Since, like, Optimus is the only half-decent one. So anyway, Zeta continues on his tear. He's confronted by both Optimus Prime, or, damn it, Orion Pax and Megatron, who, you know, he roughs up Orion pretty bad, but Megatron kills him.
Yeah.
Or so we think until Titans Return. Anyway. Another personal favorite book. Anyway, so they're able to dispose of Zeta, and Megatron promptly shoots Prime in the back and blows a hole through him and leaves
and
him for dead.
And takes over,
sorry,
yeah.
Pax in the back. But at this point, luckily, for some reason, I have never been able to figure this out, but apparently the Matrix is just sitting down there, and it calls out to Pax, and it magically fixes him, and he becomes Optimus Prime.
Well, okay, so Alpha Trion is in this, but he's not what we know from the cartoons.
Previously, Pax had been built to carry the Matrix, which is something that they talk about at the open of this whole trade.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just...
So, Alpha Trion isn't really around. Like, if you look at... What is it? Ward? Yeah, it's Wardon. If you look at Wardon, when Pax gets killed or destroyed or whatever, and Alpha Trion rebuilds him, Alpha Trion was around to rebuild the guy. There's nobody really down here in the bowels of Cybertron to rebuild him, so I understand why Chris and Flint wrote this part of the story as, hey,
but the Matrix is frequently used as a magical MacGuffin that can kind of do whatever the plot needs it to.
Yep.
But that doesn't necessarily make it okay. It's still very convenient. But, you know, and this, the IDW verse, another reason to me this doesn't necessarily fit in, the IDW verse is pretty much built on stuff actually making sense, or, you know, somewhat trying to.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't know. It's still not bad, but in any case, you know, Hot Rod turns in the other Autobots. Or rather, he gets pulled from them after they're captured.
Mm-hmm.
And is now a Decepticon, at least in theory. This is as Pax is becoming Optimus Prime, so I finally don't have to worry about the names.
Yeah.
In the end, of course, Hot Rod was bluffing and breaks out to the Autobots. Mm-hmm. They're promptly helped by... Well, I mean, they all get together at this point. They've got Ultra Magnus, you've got Optimus's crew, Springer and others up here after a bit.
That's one bot I was not expecting to show up in this was Springer. I was not expecting to see him at all, and I really should have been, because... We've seen almost every 84 incarnation at the 84, 86 incarnation at this point.
Shouldn't he be Osteros? No, anyway. that's another book. So, Prime can now raise Titans, so he wakes up Metroplex.
He turns Arcoprex into... Yeah.
Either way, Metroplex shouldn't be on Cybertron now, which is another IDW problem, but alright, fine. Well, he shouldn't be hanging around underneath, I should say. In any case, they immediately sort of go to the capital to push Megatron out. He manages to, he being Optimus, gives a speech that sort of the future Autobots listen to, and a lot of them decide to join up. So we see shots of, you know, you mentioned Alpha Trion, there's a shot of him, there's a shot of Ratchet, Wheeljack.
Mm-hmm.
Ratchet in theory would probably be already on Prime's side according to the IDW verse, because they hung out pretty much constantly. We see Blur, we see the Dinobots, the Minibots, etc.
Yeah, and how this all happens is, you know, he goes and finds Blaster.
Yeah.
I love it. I can so hear Buster's voice in my head when I read this.
So they attack the Capitol, and Megatron starts to ready the Lance. The Citadel's guns do a number on the Autobots as well. The Dinobots sort of help out, but it's not enough with the Lance that's out. So yeah. Prime brings out the big guns, which is Metroplex, who completely destroys the Lance and wrecks most of the Citadel, leading to a Prime Megatron knockdown drag out, which in a lot of ways mirrors the movie, complete with Hot Rod getting in to keep Megatron from grabbing a gun, but this time he gets out of the way and they shoot Megatron repeatedly, but he's saved by Astrotrain and Soundwave, and the Decepticons retreat.
Yeah.
So, this is not a bad trade. It's somewhat enjoyable on its own. And like I said before, I just don't know how to evaluate this, because when you put it into continuity, there's so many characters who just aren't themselves. So I'm not sure how you evaluate that. It's as if in the middle of a TV, in the middle of Breaking Bad, Walter decided, you know, I'm just going to up and, like, give all my stuff to the homeless. I love people. And in the next episode, he decided, like, well, that was a bad idea. Back to cooking meth. So now, you know, I end up conflicted, because I kind of want to enjoy it, just because it's a fun writing. So, or it's a fun story. I think it's clear that everybody working on it enjoyed it, because there's an awful lot of references to the cartoon series, to the movie. There's a lot of dialogue from the movie in it as well, too, and just nods. So I think fans will have fun with it, as long as that's how they look at it.
But if I looked at it, yeah.
Yeah, if you're looking at it as a serious story to fill in gaps in the IDW verse, that's more problematic.
Yeah. No, I was, I never expected this to, like, I know that John Barber has always, you know, tried to, for the most part, and succeeded to tie up all the loose ends from the previous IDW continuity stuff and previous other continuities from Transformers, and that's great. But I see this as more of a one-shot deal, a something.
Which it works as.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's why I enjoyed this so much, because I was not looking for it to tie into Death of Optimus Prime or More Than Meets the Eye or XRID. I was not looking for it to tie into any of that stuff. I was just looking at this as, okay, it's Flint friggin' Dilly. And Chris Metzen, who, after doing some research, he was a game developer at Blizzard for a while, for a number of years, actually. You know, and there's a little foreword from Chris in this trade about how he, you know, was a Transformers fan and all this and all that. So getting to get, you know, getting the chance to work with Flint and IDW and Livio and all of that. That's why I enjoy this, because to me, it's two fans of a series that the other guy actually created, you know what I mean? Okay, Flint is one of the creators. He's not the creator, you know what I mean? So it's one of those things where that's what I was looking at this with. I wasn't looking at this with to try to tie it into anything else. I like the, when we get into issue two, I like the Pax and Magnus training session. I thought that was kind of cool. By issue two, I already knew Zeta was just plain nuts. I mean, he just is.
Well, yeah, I mean, they set him up as evil pretty quickly, so.
Mm-hmm. I thought issue two had a great, I thought chapter two had a great ending to it, because that leads into the hunt for Soundwave for chapter three. I thought that was really good. You know, I already mentioned Megatron and Orion panel to panel with the back and forth. I thought that was great. Obviously, Hot Rod coming in. And I was kind of, I mean, I didn't think Chris and Flint would turn Hot Rod into a bad guy, but I was kind of on the fence of, like, they better not do this kind of thing. As we go through, I think my favorite, all the covers to this entire series are great, but I think my favorite one is chapter 9 with, you know, the Decepticon logo on Cybertron. I thought that was the coolest cover.
Livio's art overall is quite good in this series.
Mm-hmm.
It's arguably, I'd say, some of his best work.
Yeah. There was only one time in this, and I forget which one it was. I forget which chapter it was, that I didn't know what was going on because of Livio's art style. That very rarely happens. I know you pointed that out when we did the More Than Meets the Eye and all that stuff on the Combiner Wars. Yeah. Yeah. There was one point in this that I was kind of confused because of the art, because of the blurry lines between characters and panels. But for the most part, I absolutely loved this. And having Blaster come in at chapter 11, because we had already had all of Soundwave stuff, and I'm like, okay, well, so we get Soundwave.
So Blaster had to file for bankruptcy?
Huh?
Well, you said he came in chapter 11.
Ah, ha, 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 ha. Funny guy.
Yeah. Best thing to do with what you give me to work with.
Hey. Well, if he came in at... Well, there is no chapter 13, so he couldn't come in at chapter 13. By chapter 12, I was just in love with this entire thing. I thought the ending was great. I thought it was a great ending without them needing to say, oh, hey, yeah, by the way, a few years later, we're going to do something else as part of this. Because, like, there is, like, to me, there's no setup. I've never read Monstrosity or Primacy either, so that's, you know, me going in fresh. But this pretty much gives you an ending point. And that's what I like about certain stories, depending on who the creative teams are. If a story has an ending point, there's no sense in trying to force a sequel to it. However, I understand why they made these three a trilogy, and I'm fine with that. They had more story to tell, and we'll see how it goes, you know, in the next couple of podcasts. Overall, what were you thinking on the writing for the entire story? Besides the continuity stuff.
Yeah, I mean, so I just, you know, the first time I read it, I had no knowledge of anything else, and, you know, that would come later. Mm. And I didn't have any idea at the time. I, you know, knew it wasn't part of the IDW verse, so I enjoyed it and it all worked fine. But when you merge it, it then there's a lot of cracks. And in terms of the individual issue, though, if I just evaluate the writing without it, It's fun. But I mean, it borrows super heavily from the movie.
Yeah.
Which is fun, but I'm not necessarily certain it makes it a great trade or anything like that. I just think it's enjoyable. I don't think it's...
Yeah. It is very enjoyable, and seeing some of the lines in here, you know, from the movie, like Out of the Way, Hot Rod, or, you know, One Shall Stand, One Shall Fall. I think the only line they didn't throw in here from the battle was, why throw away your life so recklessly? I think that's the only line they didn't throw in here. Some of Soundwave's lines when he's ejecting the cassettes during the hunt for Soundwave, some of his mission descriptions were a little strange, but other than that, I very much enjoyed this. And Livio's art is just so good. I mean, he is the guy to draw the G, like, specifically linking to the G1, the old G1 cartoon. He's the guy I want drawing Transformers if they're going to link to that. Anything else we want to say about this one?
No, I mean, I just, I'm annoyed at myself because it feels like I'm being really hard on it, but... I just don't know what else to... I'm more disappointed with IDW's decision, because I feel like it diminishes what this was, which was, I think it was just meant to be like a fun little story. Mm-hmm. You know, they released it for free originally.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, to kind of move it around to me is a mistake. But, I mean, if you enjoy it, or if you're a big-time, you know, G1 fan or something like that, you're definitely going to enjoy this.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. There were a couple of lines from Bumblebee that I just could not hear Dan Gilvezan's voice in my head. It just didn't sound like something Bumblebee would say. But overall, other than that, and like I said, a couple of lines from Soundwave that just didn't feel right. But other than that, overall, I think the story is solid for, you know, a story being on its own outside of the continuity, just being a traditional G1 Transformer story.
And I believe, I could be wrong on this, so don't quote me, but I believe some of it's still available for free for download as it was originally. I'm not entirely certain. If it is, it's definitely worth it to give it a shot to see if it's something you'll enjoy.
Yep. Not on Comixology. It's not the graphic novel.
No,
for
it wasn't originally, so.
Okay. If you buy all 12 issues, you're only going to pay $12. If you want the trade for just Autocracy, it's $11. And if you want the omnibus of all three parts of the story, you're going to be paying close to about $22-23 American on Comixology. Because I almost, if I hadn't realized that I only needed to buy one of them, I almost would have bought the omnibus and I didn't. Which I'm fine not buying that. That doesn't bother me at all. But it's one of those things where, you know, it would be cool if they, you know, where, you know, last month they ran, in July, they ran IDW line-wide sale from, I think, the beginning of the month all the way up to July 24th. And you would think that, you know, this would be under, like, the free comics or something like that on Comixology, but it's not. But that's all right. I mean, honestly, $10 or $11 for Autocracy, for what this story is, like you said, for a G1-specific fan, $10 or $11 isn't a bad price for 12 issues.
It's probably worth it. Again, yeah. I'd try to see if it's still available in the original format. Damned if I can remember where and how.
Yeah.
I just remember somebody mentioning it, so.
Yep. Alrighty then. What would you rate on a 0 to 5 scale for Autocracy?
I really didn't want you to ask that. I have no idea.
Alright, look at it at... Forget the IDW continuity crap. Just as a G1 story.
Just as a G1-centric kind of fun story. Give it a pretty solid 3 out of 5.
Okay. I'm going to give it a 4 out of 5. Like I said, going back and kind of looking at my notes and looking at what while I was reading it, like I said, a couple of lines from Bumblebee didn't sound right in my head. And of course, they're not always going to sound right in my head because I'm not the writer. I'm not the one. But, you know, as Transformers fans,
I thought that was a statement based on the condition of your head.
Ha, ha, ha. What an ass. You know, but as Transformers fans, we often, if it's a specific genre story to a specific set time in Transformers history, like G1, Beast Wars, whatever, I like to hear the voice actors in my head, you know, saying the lines. Like, I like to think that it was like Dan Gilvezan said this line at one point or another, or Judd Nelson said it at one point or another. The Prime Pack stuff, there is, like... Again, referencing David Wise's Wardon from the G1 series, Orion Pax had a completely different voice actor. Orion Pax had a completely different voice. And like you already said, in this, he pretty much looks the same both as Orion and Optimus. So that's a little bit wonky, but other than that, you know.
To be fair, it's not like he's super different in the...
Yeah.
Animated show either. I mean, yeah, that stuff like that's okay. And I mean, overall, I'd say, you know, ignore my whininess about continuity and give it a shot if this is something that sounds interesting to you. I would just preface it and say that if you're looking for a great pre-war Transformers story, I'd probably recommend tracking down Chaos Theory first. The fifth trade of the Costa run. Not to mention the, I believe...
First James Roberts.
Yeah, first work by him, because he does all of the pre-war scenes, which is why they're completely outstanding. And... You just skip over the rest. Just kind of like pretend those pages aren't there and read the pre-war stuff. And it's really enjoyable.
Oh, crap. That's funny. All right, folks. Join us next time when we were going to be talking about Transformers Monstrosity. Where can the people find you online, sir?
More fun. At Nightbeat on Twitter.
I am at TFG and Mike on Twitter. You can follow at The Pullbag on Twitter. Visit geekcastradio.com. Comment on this and all of other episode posts. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. We hope you enjoyed this second of five episodes for Autobotly August. Make your greatest game into comics, and we will catch you next time.
Why throw away your life so recklessly?
You've just heard the latest episode of The Pullbag, the GCRN's comic review and discussion podcast. There are several ways to get in touch with us and leave feedback for the show. You can visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on the episode and all of our different podcasts. You can rate our show on iTunes. Be sure to leave us feedback. Call the voicemail line, 502-526-5821. Please remember to tell us the show you are leaving the message for and your name. Become a fan of us on Facebook by searching Geekcast Radio Network. Send us an email feedback at geekcastradio.com. Follow us on Twitter at Geekcast Radio. So until next time, make your great escape into comics and unleash the geek in you.